Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsyth. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
If you will, take your Bibles this morning and look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Couldn't have been more fitting song that we finished on, and that was, "Oh, Rejoice in the Lord." Thinking about those words, God never moves without purpose or plan. He has a plan for all of us, does He not? He sure does. And we must trust His hand when we don't understand. But He has a perfect plan, a perfect purpose. I'm going to get a few volunteers this morning for my object lesson as we begin. And so as I begin and introduce the message, I'm going to get a couple of my favorites to come on up. There's this big joke among our teenagers about favorites, and so if you're going to call yourself a favorite or think that you're in the running, it means you got to participate, right? So, yes, I've already started to embarrass a few. Let's see, I'm looking around. Let's get Eli to come on up. He thinks he's the number one favorite in the youth group. Pastor Jay doesn't really have favorites, but he does love to play along. There's even a flag downstairs with our pictures together that hangs in the youth room. It's amazing. Let's pick out some other favorites. Katie and Josie and James. How about that? Two guys, two girls to be able to help us out a little bit this morning. And I just simply want their honest approach to my object lesson this morning, okay? Life, is it good? A lot of people say, life is good. There's even a slogan out there. Some of you, by the way, are smiling that you didn't get picked. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, there's a brand and a company that says, life is good. I'm not sure that I really agree with that. Because life really is hard, even for the Christian. And life doesn't always seem to be good, even for the Christian. I do believe in the thing and the statement, God is good. Even if life doesn't seem to be good, or it doesn't seem to be going your way, or you're going through a trial right now, it may not seem like things are working out for you. But God is always good during those circumstances. Let's come down and talk to our teenagers just a little bit here. I prepared a couple things, and I want to get your personal opinion, okay? Up here this morning, we have Eli, Josie, Katie, James. We have all-purpose flour. We have good old baking soda, okay? We got salt. We have butter. I can't believe it's not butter. Okay. We have sugar. We have brown sugar. We have vanilla extract. I put it in a cup so it wouldn't roll off because these are valuable things right now. Eggs. Okay. And of course, the very last thing we have is Nestle Toll House semi-sweet morsels. Okay. Now, I just simply want y'all's honest opinion. I want you to basically vote for the rest of the audience out here. You're just a selection of the audience. Eli, if I were to be able to give you one thing on this table to eat, I'm not going to make you eat it right now, but if I were, which item would you pick? Flour, baking soda, salt, butter, sugar, brown sugar, vanilla extract, an egg, or the chocolate chips? All right. Say that again so everybody can hear you.
The chocolate chips.
All right. He picked the chocolate chips. You move to the back of the line for just a little bit here. Josie, if you had the choice of all these different items, which would you choose to be able to eat right now?
Well, most people would say chocolate chips, but I don't like chocolate chips. And I would pick butter, but you have fake butter up there. So I'll pick brown sugar.
Okay, she's going for the brown sugar. And I like the way that she reasoned through all of these things. That's very good. Okay, Katie, what would be your pick of something? Maybe I would, if you really claim to be my favorite, maybe I will make you eat it right now on the spot. Okay?
I won't be as complicating, but I will take the chocolate chips.
All right, she would go for the chocolate chips, okay? So two have voted for chocolate chips. One have voted for brown sugar. James, I know that you probably have a lot of thought and insight into this of which one you would choose.
Well, see, I would have chosen the butter, but I'm like Josie. It's fake butter. That's true. It's not as good. So I'd probably take the chocolate chips.
Okay. So three votes for chocolate chips. All right. Give them all a hand. We're not going to make anybody eat it this morning. You can return to your seats. You know, the fact is, we have a lot of different items up here. And yes, it is fake butter, okay? Well, should have put a real stick of butter. I would have liked to have seen two of them actually eat a stick of butter in front of us. I think we should have made them do that if they were really choosing the real butter. I think they chose what most of us probably would have. They chose the sweet things. They chose the really good items that were on the table. How many of you have had a cup of flour here recently? Just woke up one morning, decided to down a cup of flour. No drink, just cup of flour. I don't think most of us have done that. Most of us would choose the very nice, appealing things, the sweet things. The sweet things in life. That's what we really want, don't we? Sometimes, of course, a couple chose the brown sugar, and that's a sweeter thing as well. How many of you have ever tried the vanilla extract? Maybe you're a big vanilla fan. Hey, tasting vanilla extract is not the same thing as something that has vanilla flavoring in it. Oh, it's bad. The fact is, this morning, in life, we're giving all kinds of things throughout life. Different ingredients that come our way. Different things that come into our lives. And sometimes in our lives, we sort of feel like the Lord or life is just handing us a stick of butter. Or even worse, something like baking soda. Or, you know, nobody chose the salt. Just to take a teaspoon of salt. Ugh. Who would want to do that? And sometimes life comes our way and we feel like we are doing that. We are just simply eating a teaspoon of salt. Lord, what are you doing in my life? This doesn't make sense. But you know what? All of these ingredients have something in common up here. Any of you ladies know what it is? Bakers. I know Brooke Neal is a great baker. What do you think the commonality of these things? What would these be ingredients for? Cookies, somebody said it, yes. Chocolate chip cookies. And of course, we know that there is no other kind, right? Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookies. I don't know if you vote with me on that, but honestly, I remember as a kid, there was no other kind. I'd go to Grandma's house, and she had a Tony the Tiger cookie jar. And there was always Nestle Toll House cookies in there. I don't know if she just knew when we were coming, and she baked some, or if she just always baked 6 to 12 all the time and just had them right there ready. But they were so, so good. Look, if you will, at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This morning, I want us to combat some bad theology that is out there. I think probably most of us have a good understanding, but sometimes we need a reminder that God really is good. And this verse has been misquoted multiple times or misapplied multiple times. I don't think it's ever been misapplied from this pulpit, but there are a lot in this world that teach a health and a wealth kind of gospel. And you could get the wrong kind of belief, wrong type of thought in your mind simply by reading this verse wrong, misapplying this verse. Romans chapter 8, let's begin reading in verse 26, and we'll go down through verse 28. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And now we come to our key passage for today, Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Let's bow forward to prayer this morning. Lord, as we come to your word this morning, Lord, we thank you that you are a good God. And Lord, there are times in our life that we just don't understand what is going on. But like the song writer Ron Hamilton expressed in Rejoice in the Lord, you have a plan. You have a purpose. Even when we go through very difficult times, when it feels like life is nothing but a spoonful of salt or something else that just tastes bitter or awful, Lord, help us to realize that you are still working things together for good. Lord, help us to trust a good God. Lord, be with us this morning as we listen to your scriptures. Lord, help us to renew again and afresh in our mind that we can trust a good and loving God. In Jesus' name, amen. The fact is, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Many of people have said, if you're a Christian, all things will be good in your life. When you get saved, life is going to be easy. It will be good. If you are obeying the Lord, you will have health and you will have wealth. That is an incorrect theology. That is the prosperity gospel promoted on TV. The fact is, many people say, well, goodness, when I hear them say that, and I'm going through trials, it must mean that I'm not being obedient to the Lord. Or maybe he doesn't love me. Maybe I'm the exception to the rule. And that is not the case. God said that things will work together for good to them that love God. But he didn't say that everything was always going to be good. He has said it's going to work together for good. In life, at times, there's going to be times where we're feeling like that God is allowing some difficult things to come into our life. Some of these ingredients that make up something good in the end will be the things that we struggle with as we're being given them to us. The fact is, he says he is going to work it together for good. You know, this morning, I made them pick one item. The fact is, that was a little bit unfair because we know, and I should have had, by the way, some nice warm chocolate chip cookies for y'all. I really should have. That would have been a good thing. Maybe not tonight. Come on back anyway, okay? The fact is, though, we make them choose out an ingredient, and most of us like the sweet things in life. But you know, it takes mixing these different things together. And then God says, I am going to work it together for good. To those who love the Lord, I'm going to start working these things together. So in your life, you might have went through a trial. And you felt like you were given salt, something bitter, vanilla extract. You ask the Lord, what do I do with this egg? And the Lord says, sell it. you say, what do I do with this egg? Lord, you know, sometimes we feel like we're dealt rotten eggs in life. That's not the case with our good God. But he's given us different ingredients. And what we don't understand, because we don't see the whole picture, is that he is asking us to put it into the mixing bowl. And he says, I am going to be that person that works it together for good. I am the one. Just trust me. Be patient. Wait. It's hard to wait, isn't it? When God is doing something in our life and we just don't understand, it seems like things that are coming in our life are difficult or unfair, or sometimes it feels like it's unloving. Our teenagers were just studying the life of Job 2 and 3 Sundays ago. We do a two-part lesson. We were talking about the life of Job and how unfair it must have felt, how things just kept being taken out of his life so quickly. And yet, he did not curse God, even when he was challenged by his wife and some other friends that said, I don't think God loves you anymore. That was not the case. That was not the truth. God was working things together in Job's life. He was allowing him to become refined, to show even Satan what the servant of God was made of that trusted him. You know what? Today, you're probably going through some things. I don't know the life story behind you and what happened this past week, but I'm sure you came in here even this morning possibly with some heavy burdens. Maybe it is a teenager that you're struggling with. Hopefully not. Maybe it is a financial thing that arose this week that you said, Lord, I don't know how we're going to pay this. Maybe it was a workplace scenario where you said, you know what, Lord, I don't like that coworker. There's nothing about that coworker that is in me that even desires a relationship. That coworker, I think they're from the devil. And God says, I put them in your life for you to be a blessing to them and for them to teach you something. It's the ingredients that we don't like. It's the struggles that we're going through. And at times, we say, Lord, what? Lord, why? And he says, I'm making something really great. Will you hold out? Will you trust me? Will you wait? It takes all of those things added at the right time. By the way, I have the recipe right up here. Nestle, well, somewhere up here. Here we go. Listen to this, okay? 2.5 cups of flour. That's what we start with in life or with making this recipe. 1 teaspoon of baking soda. Don't sound good from the start, does it? 1 teaspoon of salt. 1 cup of butter, softened. I'm sorry, not the fake stuff, okay? 3/4 cup white sugar. Ah, now we're getting to something a little bit better. 3/4 cup packed brown sugar. What happens if we don't pack it? I've always wondered that. Some of you ladies can probably tell me after the service, well, Pastor Jay, you don't know much, okay? And when it comes to baking, that's probably true. Sometimes the packing in our life is not even comfortable. Even though the brown sugar is sweet, when God puts a little bit of pressure in our lives and packs it down, that doesn't feel comfortable. 2 large eggs, 2 cups of semi-sweet chocolate chips, and of course, optional, 1 cup chopped nuts. But the directions go on to tell us something else. It tells us something else about life, and we can apply this as well. It says, preheat the oven to 375. Ooh. You know what? We can take all the ingredients And we can put all of these things that are bitter in our life or whatever together, and God starts working things together, and we say, ah, it's starting to appear to be something good. And then God turns the heat on in our life. Oh, man. Have you been there? Have you had the heat of God turned on in your life? And at that point, we say, you know what? I thought things were working out for the good. But now you've put the heat on. You know what? Those items, although we mix them together, without the heat, they would not become what we enjoy so much. Now, I know there's some of you out there that are already just a little bit ahead of me, and you're like, but that's chocolate chip cookie dough. Yeah, but it has a raw egg in it. Are you really going to eat it? Some of you will. I know. But you know what? When that becomes really, really good, it's when the heat comes on. And it's in the oven for the right amount of time. Ron Hamilton. I'll get it straight there. Ron Hamilton, after he found out that he had a strange and odd growth in his eye, went to the doctor. And of course, the doctor says, we don't know what this is going to be. We can't tell you what's going to happen. When you come out of surgery, we may have fixed the problem, or we may have to have removed your eye. And they were concerned about the growth, and they end up removing his eye. He wrote the song, Rejoice in the Lord. Can you imagine going through a trial like that? Here's the words he wrote, and you sang this morning. God never moves without a purpose or a plan. There is a purpose, and there is a plan for everything that you are going through this morning. When molding his servant, molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems, long. In darkness, he giveth a song. He goes on to say, I could not see through the shadows ahead, so I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? Keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ on the cross. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Notice what happens when a Christian bows to the will of the Master. It says, then peace came. And those tears, they fled away. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know the tears that you have shed, possibly even on the way to church this morning. But he says, if you'll bow to my will and realize the difficult things that you're going through right now are me trying to make something beautiful out of your life. It is for your good, and it is for my glory, the Lord says. Trust me. Wait. Third verse says, now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges. How? In hate? In cruelty? No, in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Some of us say, fruit bearing? Final results? No, I want the easy button. I want the pass. And none of us get a pass in life, do we? The Christian life is not promised to be easy. But he says, I am working things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's take this verse in the next couple of minutes and just step through it a couple words at a time. And we know. Isn't it wonderful as Christians that there are things that we can know for sure, of a certainty? Notice who is writing this. The Apostle Paul is writing this scripture verse. And do you think he's an authority on this? Does he know anything? Think about all the beatings. Think about all the trials that he went through. Think about the thorn in the flesh that he asked the Lord to deliver him from. And here's what he is writing. He goes, I can speak from experience. We know. Knowing with a certainty. Isn't it wonderful, even with our salvation, that we can speak with authority? Okay? 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And I trust that you know about this passage. Okay? 1 John chapter 5. Verse 13, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. You know what? There's a lot of things in this life we don't know, and God has not told us about, and sometimes the scriptures are silent about. When the scriptures are silent, sometimes we speculate, sometimes we reason, sometimes we think. But when the scriptures are silent, I'm just fine to leave it in God's hands and say, I don't know. We won't know. But there are some things, like the Apostle Paul is saying today, we can know, okay? And when it comes to the assurance of our salvation, he says that ye may know with a certainty, okay, that you have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Paul was one that could speak with authority. He had been through it all. He'd went through all kinds of trials and testing and difficult things in his life. And he said, and we know that all things work together for good. Paul, if Paul's saying it, I can believe it. It was written down in Scripture. God took what Paul said through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit causing him to write this, and he caused it to be part of the canon of Scripture. It's for you and I today that we can know for a certainty God is working things together for good. Notice what the next couple words says. It says, and we know. Then it goes on to say that all things work together for good. You know what? You're going through a difficult time right now. And like I mentioned before, who wants a cup of flour in the morning? I don't think we could get it down without a drink. And why would we want to even do it? By itself, in these different ingredients, some of them are really bad in themselves. By the way, they become really good when they're mixed together. And you give them the proper things of 375 for a certain amount of minutes and things like that. But when these things come into our lives, we're looking up at the Heavenly Father going, you told us we can know that you're good, that you're working all things together for good, but the flour, Lord, I don't know if that's part of the all things. No, it is. It's all things. All things? Yes, all things. Are you sure about all things? All things. But that tragedy that happened, or some of us don't even understand this, the aspect of children that die. It's so difficult whenever you see something like that, or they don't even come to full term. Or sometimes we're saying to ourselves, we have this wonderful baby bottle campaign in order to help people that are in crisis. But what was the key phrase in those videos? Unintended pregnancies. Some of us ask the question, there's good people, Christian people, that have tried and tried and tried to have children, and they can't. It's difficult, isn't it? And somebody, unintended, has a pregnancy and they don't want it. And yet there's a good Christian family that wants to raise some children for the glory and honor of the Lord. It's difficult. We don't understand some of those things. And yet God says all things. All things? All things. All things work together for good. Here's the next couple words. We know, Paul said it. You can believe it. All things? Yes, all things. And there's that word, work. Whew. Work together. You know what the fact is? Some things in life are difficult. Is work difficult? Yes. It's good for us, though. It's what God intended. But when we're thinking about things working together, sometimes it's difficult. If you never, you know, baked and you're just a child and you're starting to put those ingredients together, maybe the little child says to the mom, "But mom, I can't do this. I mean, stirring this stuff together, it's so hard. It's like work." You know, the fact is, sometimes we shy away from work. Sometimes we don't like work. Sometimes it seems difficult in the process. But God says, all things are going to work together. And God says, trust me, I am taking those things that are in your life, the difficult things, and I'm blending them together. And right now it feels like a process of work. It's not easy, it's not pleasant, but it is being worked together. Trust me, trust me. Notice what it says. We know all things work together. How about that part of for good? I think this is often where we question as Christians, God, is it really good? God, is it really fair? We believe in America that we're supposed to have a right to an easy life. We believe that we have a right to certain things. We call this entitlement. Unfortunately, our younger generation, we've given them so much that unfortunately they expect certain things. And when it doesn't happen or it doesn't happen quick enough, we feel entitled that it should be ours. And then we ask the question, well, it's not fair, mom. It's not fair, dad. I'm supposed to have that. I'm supposed to get this. I'm supposed to have a cell phone by age 3 and a half. What? Entitled. The fact is, things are not always good. Things are not always easy. Things are not always the way we want them. But God says, I am working them together for good. Just trust me. Wait on me. Be patient. Notice who he is saying that he is going to do this good in the life. It's going to be in the life of the believer. Okay? This verse really does not apply to the unbeliever. I trust this morning that all of you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you know that God is doing something good in your life on purpose. He says that these things that are hard, are difficult, they're being worked together for good. Notice the next phrase, to them that love God. Do you love God this morning? Oh, I know about God. No, that's not what I ask. Do you love God this morning? Well, I mean, we put him first. You're asking me. I came to church this morning. Of course I love God. No, do you really love him? Where does he stand when it comes to your relationship of the things that you love the most? He really ought to be at the top of the list, shouldn't he? You know, I know that you love your spouse, and most of us would think during the month of February, thinking about Valentine's coming up and all that stuff, our spouse is at the top of the list. But any spouse, husband or wife, that has a proper walk with the Lord themselves would not want to be at the top of your list. They would desire to be second on that list and have God first place. Any man that has God as the first place in his life, that truly loves God, is going to take care of his wife properly. Any woman that has God at the first place and not the second is going to love her family and love her husband and do good to those. When we put God first, that's where he desires to work in and through us. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It goes on to say, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Do you believe that you're a part of the called? Do you realize that if you've been saved, there is a calling on your life? Most of us think that the called means somebody in full-time Christian ministry. But that is not the case. If you've been saved, you have been called to a life of service to the Master. We have nothing better in life to do, no higher calling at all than the one who saved us, redeemed us, bought us back from the slave market of sin. That's the first thing that we would want to do. We would want to be in his service, called and used, fit for the Master's use. You're called this morning. I trust that you are finding his call in your life. What do you want me to do, Lord? I will do it. I will serve you in it. I will put you first in it. We are the called. Notice it goes on to say, according to his purpose. Do you realize that God has a purpose in your life? God has a purpose for your life. You say, Pastor Jay, I think that you probably believe that. I don't know that I believe that yet. You haven't found God's purpose in your life yet, but God has a purpose for your life. Maybe you're sitting there saying, little old me, he has a purpose for me? Absolutely. Doesn't matter what age we are, young, middle-aged, older, God has a purpose for all of our lives. And God has a purpose for every age and stage of our life. Don't just say, well, I used to be a Christian. You know those used to be Christians? They served God 40 years ago. They've done their part. They're going to sit on the shelf and, just wait for the Lord to come back. No, there's a purpose for your life right now. Are you fulfilling that purpose? He says, according to his purpose. Note, of course, that in this verse and in this passage, that truly he has a purpose for your life. He's allowing these hard things to come in your life. Be patient, wait on him, because he's working them together for something that is good, because he has a purpose. Problem is, we don't know what his purpose is. Final purpose for our life. You know what? I've been to a number of funerals, and I have often thought, did that person realize the impact that they made on so many people? A lot of times, stories come out in a funeral service, and I wish that those stories could have been shared while that person was still living. People talk about, you know what, such and such a person, they were such a great influence in my life. Boy, when I was a teenager, it was because of them that I did this. Oh, I wish they had told that to that person. I am changed. I am where I am because of that person. You know, the fact is, some of us will never know until eternity what the wonderful purpose was that God had in our lives. I believe that God gives to most of us a glimpse of the purpose that and the reason for our life and what difference we're making in lives of others and for the gospel. But some things might not be known until eternity. The fact is, he is working things together for his purpose. As I'd referenced before, the Life is Good company really is an American Apparel and Accessories wholesaler. They were founded back in 1994. They're best known for their optimistic little t-shirts and hats. Smiling stick figures named Jake that say, life is good. Guess what? I don't know that I completely agree with it. By the way, if you wear one of those, I'm not against you, okay? And I'm not going to insult your hat. But I don't know that life is always good. Life is difficult. Life is hard at times. Maybe we ought to wear the apparel that says God is good. Because that is the truth. And it's not something that we can agree or disagree with. God is always good. By the way, God is good is a part of his character. There's no way that he can be evil. I was reading in Jeremiah this morning. Think about these thoughts. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That purpose that he has for your life, he says, I'm going to give you an expected end, something that is wonderful. I don't have thoughts of evil towards you. I have thoughts of peace. I love this passage in Jeremiah as well. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Wow. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Some of us question the love of God. Oh, I know that you love my sister. I know that you love my mom and dad. I can see it, but I don't think that you love me. That is not the truth. God does love you. You are going through a difficult time. Trust the good and loving God. He is working those things in your life together for good. Just be patient. Here's a secular figure that talks about how life sometimes is difficult. Think about this success or failure, if you want to call it that. Michael Jordan once said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career, okay? Not when he was a kid, not when he was playing high school basketball, not even college. He says, in my career, my professional career, Michael Jordan said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. Oh, put yourself in this spot. Nobody likes this. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. That's, by the way, when the crowd boos you, okay? Everybody is passing to you. Final, the game rests upon that last shot. By the way, why didn't the game rest upon all of the first minutes of the game? It seems like we always do that, right? We put so much pressure on that last person to make that final shot. And Michael Jordan said 26 times, I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot, and I've missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that's why I succeed. You know what? You're going to have those failures. You're going to have those hardships. You're going to have those things come in your life that you're going to say, I don't like it. It's difficult. Everybody's watching. My life is an utter failure. And guess what? If you turn around and realize God is good, he's taking care of you, you will be a success. Applying a secular aspect to your own life, forget about all of those failures. Forget about all those difficulties. Forget about those things that are in the past. Reach forward and press towards the future. God never allows pain without purpose in the life of his children. God never allows pain without purpose in the lives of his children. I was thinking about whether to share this or not. 22 years ago, pastor was away on vacation, and he had a guest speaker already lined up, but I need to be there and be able to help navigate the service. And if the guest speaker didn't show up, I'm always there ready to be able to speak in that speaker's absence. Jennifer and I were having a very difficult morning. She wasn't feeling good. Things weren't going so well. We had already told everybody that we were expecting our first child. What excitement. What excitement. But things weren't going well that morning. And part of me sort of even feels a little bit guilty today. Jennifer went on to the emergency room. My dear mother went with her. I stayed behind, kept things going at church. And after the service, I found out that we had a miscarriage. Not easy times. It was painful. Thank goodness there was people. By the way, at that time in our life, we didn't know of anybody who had a miscarriage. And so at that time, you can believe the thought that Satan puts in your mind that you're the only one going through hard times. You're the only one that is experiencing trials. Something is happening in your life because of something wrong that you have done. Sometimes we believe things like that. Job, even though things weren't wrong in his life, God allowed trials to come in his life. You know, it was very interesting. The next week or two, we found out about a lot of ladies in our church that had had miscarriages and went through trials like that. We realized we were not the only one. And God allowed pain to come into our lives, but it was for a purpose. It was for a purpose of being able to help somebody else, be a blessing and encouragement when somebody else was going through a trial, a hardship, things like that. When pain comes into your life, realize God has a purpose in that. We don't see the end. I remember as my grandmother would put together quilts, one side of it was beautiful. But if you ever looked at the back side of a quilt, it didn't have those beautiful stitches like on the front side. The back side had a lot of crazy strings going here and there. It had some strings that had been cut off, knots tied. It wasn't the pretty side. A lot of times that's what we see in life, is we see the back side of the quilt and we say, God, why is this? It looks like my life is a shambles. It looks like my life is a mess. Or we say, my life is not like so-and-so's life. They look like they have it all together. And God says, no, trust me, I am working things together for good. Do you love me? Do you trust me? Are you willing to wait patiently? I'm going to reveal the other side of the quilt to you at some point. But in the meantime, you trust me. You wait on me. A jigsaw puzzle. I'll put that down as an illustration. Hard to see the end without consulting the picture on the box. How many of you have started a jigsaw puzzle? You put all those pieces out. You put them out, up, right side up. And of course, you go for the, oh, no, you don't go for the corners and all the edges and all those things. Before you do that, you take the box and you throw it away, right? No, definitely not. That's probably what saves most of us when doing a jigsaw puzzle is that picture. You know, the picture that's on the box shows you the final product, the end product, what it's going to look like. But sometimes when all those 1,000 pieces are laying on the table, it looks like a wreck. It looks like a mess. You say it's impossible. We'll never get this done. We found 3 corners. There is no 4th corner. Or you get there to the end of the puzzle and you realize one piece is missing. Did the dog eat it? I don't know. Fact is, We need to be patient. We need to wait on the Lord. He is blending these things that are in our life together for good. Are you doubting God's love? Are you doubting His power? Sometimes we say, God, don't you love me? God says, yes, I do love you. Nothing has changed. Some of us are doubting His power. You can't fix what's wrong in my life, God. You really can't. He says, no, be patient. It's just the fact that I have mixed everything together, but now I'm turning the heat on in your life. And you say, I don't think you have the power to be able to fix it all. And He says, just wait. Just wait. It's going to come out of the oven. It's going to be something so warm and gooey. And oh, your life is going to be a masterpiece if you're patient and wait on me. How are you doing this morning? Are you waiting? Are you trusting? In conclusion, I challenge you with this. Trust that He is good all the time. God is good all the time. Number two, never forget that He loves you. Number three, be patient. He is not done with you yet. He is not done with you yet. I know that most of us, just like these teenagers, would like just the sweet things in our life. But we have to put the other ingredients in, allow God to put those ingredients in to make something better than just eating the chocolate chips. God wants to do something in your life. Whether you're 9, whether you're 13, whether you're 54, or you're 87, God has a plan and a purpose for you. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You this morning thanking You for the privilege of being able to share Your word. Oh Lord, as we look at that verse, help us not to believe in a health and wealth gospel that simply says everything's going to be easy if we're a Christian, because it's not the truth. And actually, our lives, if they were made to be really easy, we wouldn't become refined like gold and silver and precious things. Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to wait. Help us be patient. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.